I feel very strongly that the Lord is bringing us back to some very basic things that I think we probably neglected, or we're not as diligent as we should be. And times are moving on rapidly. Everything in life is not getting any better or any easier. And we still have to walk by faith and trusting God. And I want to maybe this week, or as the Lord leads, have a series where we're going to deal with our doubts. And so we're going to call this How to Overcome Our Doubts by Faith. How to Overcome Our Doubts by Faith. And we're going to start this off from something very familiar in the book of James, James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 5 to 7, verses 5 to 7 of James chapter 1. And it says this: if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we have indeed taught much on these verses over the years, but I believe that there is still more that God will enlighten us with regard to those verses. And it opens up in this section: if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, we are seeking God, and we're asking for that wisdom and that guidance with regard to doubts that we still entertain in the mind. And so he says, if you ask of me, then let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. That means that he is generous, without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we come with a right heart and attitude, not holding grudges or resentment, or if there's doubt or unbelief, we've dealt with it. He says that we come seeking him. It means that the very fact that we open up the Word of God is so that we get that wisdom, that understanding in which to ask of God. And we're dealing today about these doubts that still hinder the mind. And you see, have you ever wondered why your prayers are not always answered? Or why you weren't healed or blessed? You thought that you were praying the prayer of faith. How many of us have thought we prayed the prayer of faith and yet nothing happened? It didn't manifest. I didn't get the healing or the blessing or the finances that I was believing or trusting God for. There is always an answer to that. And if you don't, you then inquire of God. You always go before the Lord, because faith must work. And here it is: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You're inquiring of God. You're wanting wisdom. You've missed it. And Lord, I want to know why, because this is about your glory. This is about your promises. This is what you have said, and it hasn't happened. And I'm coming before you, waiting before you, to find out where it possibly has gone wrong. or why there's so much defeat and worry and frustration going on in my life, where I seem to be just robbed of joy and peace and victory. There's always an answer. The Word of God has everything within it, in its 66 books, for your overcoming, for your problem, what you are facing, what you are going through, what answer you need. Everything is contained in God's Word for you to be able to succeed, to live and walk by faith. God has not made a mistake. We are the problem. And a lot of the time is we still have that pride within us where we're not bowing the knee as we should be. We become offended, upset, or disinterested because it's not working. Have you wondered why your faith is so weak and inadequate? Do trials cause you to just turn away and just go into your shell instead of letting them cause you to get stronger, to wax bolder, which they're to do? There's an answer for everything. And here he says, come, for those of you who lack wisdom, you're wanting to find out, you're wanting to know where it is you are missing it, let them ask of God, who gives to all liberally. He doesn't withhold. If you're standing right with him, if you confessed your sin, you're covered by the blood of the Lamb, then he gives liberally, without reproach. Even though you have missed it, even though you haven't glorified his name, you didn't acknowledge him, he still doesn't hold reproach, resentment against us. On the contrary, and it says he will give it to them, to us who ask. But, here it is, and that word but, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let him ask in faith. And our problem is we start to entertain those doubts. And the Word of God is going to show you why you are still entertaining those doubts. Because when you are tempted to question these promises in God's Word, when you're not sure or you're wavering, I can guarantee Satan will come in and he will rob you. He will hinder your mind. He'll hinder your healing. He'll hinder that which you've asked. He'll rob you of your joy, your material provisions, all your needs, spiritual power in your life. He'll rob you of a strong faith, those blessings and the victory that we should have in Jesus. He comes as a thief and a robber, and you're letting him do it because you're doubting. Did you know doubt is Satan's weapon that he uses against your mind? And here we see these spiritual principles that James, he addresses all of this. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So he's made it absolutely clear. He's made it clear with regard to the promises of God. And that's why we have to go to the Word of God for our needs, for our faith, because we know that faith comes by hearing, reading the Word of God. But when we begin to start to doubt, Satan comes straight in and he robs us of the answer that is coming on its way. And that's why he says a doubter is like the wave of the sea. He wavers between faith and unbelief. That's what it means. He rises up with the wave in faith. And when the wave goes down into the depths of sea, he then goes down in unbelief. And that is exactly what happens. That's why it uses this analogy of the sea. You're tossed by the wind, by the waves. You rise up in faith and you go down in doubt. Up in faith, down in doubt. And it's a merry-go-round. That is Satan's trick to try and discourage you from believing. Until in the end you're tired, you're exhausted. You can't handle your doubts anymore. It seems one minute I'm believing, next minute I'm doubting. And that's what it is. And you're up and you're down. And you become unstable. And an unstable Christian doesn't then have that consecration over that their life and their separation. They waver between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. And that's what happens. Because you're entertaining the doubts and Satan's using it to rob you. And that's why God has promised in his word that can be received by faith. You know, our doubts is a disease. It's a spiritual cancer that attacks our faith. You know, doubt is the devil's weapon. It seduces your faith. Did you know that that's what doubts do? Doubt is seductive, seducing. It's a lie. And that is what it does to your faith. And that's why we have so much confusion today in the house of God with regard to faith, and very few that walk it, because they are so confused about faith, about the promises of God's word, because there's doubts that work with it every time they're reading it. Satan's not stupid. He knows exactly how to attack in the mind. And he'll always begin with you beginning to doubt. And when you doubt, it's a downward slope every time. Exactly what he says about the wave being driven and tossed by the wind, by the waves, up and down, up and down. There are so many Christians up and down. That is not how we're to walk. And if that is your problem, if that's what you're saying now as you're hearing this, then come before God. If you lack the wisdom, the understanding, come before him. And he will deal with it so that you get it under the blood. Because you cannot release faith where there's doubt. You cannot stand on any of these promises where there is doubt. Don't even attempt to stand on any of these promises if you know your weaknesses. After a few days, your mind starts opening to doubts. Don't even do it, because it's sin. That's what happens. Well, with this brief introduction, and I think God is really meaning business, is he not? The first thing then to deal with these doubts is to accept what Christ has done for us at Calvary with regard to your sin. In other words, the atonement. Because doubt is sin. It's one of the greatest sins. Do you know why? Israel never made it into the kingdom of
into the promised land because of doubt and unbelief. She perished. How much more than us who are grafted into the vine? We Gentiles, we're only here today because Israel failed. Are we going to fail as well? Only you can answer that question. And you can only answer that question when you go before God. Anyone who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and will be given to him. This is what we have to do, because it is sin before God's eyes. And we're no longer dealing with it as sin. We're not bothering anymore with our doubts. Oh, it's just me. It's the way I am. I doubt these things. I question all things all the time. And before we know where we are, we're questioning God's word and his promises, you see. And that's why, as he says in Hebrews 11, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you've got to get it under the blood of the Lamb. That sin is holding against you. It is blocking your faith. This is why some of us are not breaking through in faith, because sin is present. You've not taken your doubts seriously before God. We know in Romans 14:23 that he says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That's what he says. And sin is sin. If there is sin, it's not dealt with, we don't make it into the kingdom of God. The children of Israel, their history shows us, because of this, they didn't make it in. And few, it seems, preach this today and take it seriously. Because we have to raise this question: did Jesus die for all our sins, or didn't he? Did he also die? He gave his life up for me, also for my doubts. That when I doubt it, I've sinned, I bring it before God and get it covered by the blood of Jesus. Because we have to see that he not only died for our sins and made us a new creation in Christ, but the blood of the Lamb continues to atone in order to deal with our doubts and unbelief, because it displeases God. What does it say in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Well, let's go from verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care or doubts upon him, for he cares for you. That is what it says. Cast all your cares, your doubts, your anxieties, your unbelief. How do you do it? Verse 6. You humble yourself. You acknowledge before God that this is displeasing. This hasn't glorified your name. It grieves you, and therefore it grieves me. Get it under the blood of the Lamb. Then you can confess, and God will wipe the slate clean. What for? So that you can get it right. So that you can come back to that which you have seen, a promise, and then stand upon it and not doubt, or wait until you are in that place to stand upon that promise without doubting. That is what it means. And the only way we will succeed in this, when we accept Christ's atonement as sufficient for all our sins, and we're dealing with doubt or the temptation to doubt, because it is a temptation. And Satan comes and suggests, and he speaks to you. See, God isn't faithful. That brother, he stood on the word for healing and nothing happened to him. And we begin to listen to it. And the next thing you know is you're entertaining doubts. And when you entertain doubt for a minute, you battle for an hour. And when you're entertaining doubts for an hour, you battle for a whole day. That's what it does in your mind. And then you become powerless to cast it down because the enemy's got in. He's got a hold. And the only way you're going to get free from that is to bow that knee and acknowledge, I've sinned. I've sinned badly before you, Lord. This grieves your heart. This doubting, questioning. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me. I call upon the blood of Jesus, and that in your wisdom and mercy, you will give me another chance. God always does. This is why he's addressing this, because some of you, he wants to give you another chance. It's because he loves us and he wants his name glorified in FGA. We're still trusting too much in man and the arm of the flesh. And the arm of the flesh, you trust it. You need to be very, very careful when you're going to the arm of the flesh, because as it says in the word, there's a curse that stands with it. And you don't want to go under these curses, where then it's hard to begin to walk by faith. This is why so many churches today are not preaching faith, living by faith, because they trust in the arm of the flesh and there's a curse that is attached to it. And this is why there's so little of the deeper life being taught and faith as the word of God presents itself. The reason that we're being taught it is because we've been delivered from this curse in God's grace and mercy. Oh, God wants us to succeed, brothers and sisters. We've got everything to gain. God does not lie. He is faithful. We have to do it his way. And we try and do it on ourselves, on our own terms. And we mustn't. The word of God is all clear to show us how to deal with it. I'm dealing today how you deal with your doubts. And I've shown you from James, I've shown you from the Word of God, I've shown you with 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, how to deal with these doubts. Here it is in God's Word. So we're without excuse. I too have to go before God. I too have to apply this principle. And I know when I'm starting to entertain doubts, because the next thing that comes, you lose your peace, you begin to waver, you're up and down, and the enemy's got in. And thank God we can go into our closet and we can bring it before our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who has mercy over us, who's provided for this through his Son, Jesus Christ. Everything is for us to succeed in this walk. But God shows us how to do it. And this is where obedience comes in. This is where we yield to the Spirit. Never leave your doubts if they've got a hold. Never leave them till tomorrow or next week. Deal with them. Go before God. Because otherwise, you're going to battle it, and the next thing is, you know, for the next few days, you're oppressed, you're down. You've lost your peace. It's hard to believe. And then the enemy starts to accuse God before you that he isn't as loving as you think he is. And then you battle all sorts of things and resentment. And you start to resent your brothers and sisters who are being blessed and you're not. All the classic signs and symptoms the enemy gets in where there is doubt. I've had to deal with it with Christians over the years in counselling. It's the same old pattern the enemy uses. Nothing new under the sun. But we're showing you how you can deal with your doubts. And the first thing is we're showing you what doubt is before God. It is sin. And it's one of the worst sins. It's right there at the top. And because he tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. And he's told us that where there's doubt and not faith, it's sin, Romans 14:23. And we've shown you that Jesus died for all your sins, every sin, including your doubting, your questioning. He died for that also, so that you can get delivered from this in order to have a faith that will stand without doubting on the promises of God's word. Well, that's the first area. The second thing we'll look at. When you stand upon a promise of God, you always ask in faith and expect an answer. God is always wanting you, when you stand upon the word, upon a promise, to expect the answer. And it may come immediately, it may come later, it will always come, but it will come in God's right timing. You see, so much prayer goes unanswered because Christians don't really take God's name, his honor, his glory, his integrity seriously enough to expect an answer. In other words, when you stand upon God's word, a promise, and you pray that prayer of faith, you are dealing with God's integrity. You are dealing with what it took his son to go to the cross to deal with our sin and our unbelief, our doubts, what it cost him for you and I to be able to stand now upon these promises and believe and thank him for them. It's what it cost him, not you. Not me. He wants us to believe. He paid the price for you and I to be able to believe and be blessed. And that's why we have to believe. It's important to believe, because this is about God's glory. It's about his name. It's what he done for me. At Calvary, he has given me the ability, the power, the faith to be able to believe and stand upon these promises. Why should I doubt? Doubting dishonors him. You wouldn't like your child doubting you if you've made a promise to your child. And they kept saying, are you really going to do this, mummy? Are you really going to get that, daddy? And they keep saying this. After a time, you would become upset. You start to think, why is my child not believing that I will get this for them? What is it that's making them think like that? Well, if parents would react and think like that, how much more our Heavenly Father? How it grieves him. And yet we do it. Because God is interested in answering our prayers, fulfilling his promises to us. Because this is why he's made them. And the only requirement is that we ask in faith. He hasn't asked any more. He hasn't asked you to go and fast for 40 days or to quote this scripture 100 times or write it 50 times down on paper. He hasn't done any of that. He simply asked us to ask in faith, nothing doubting, and to expect an answer. Let's read it. I know we know it so, so well, but I just feel we have to look at this. Mark 11:24. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. What has he asked? To believe. Is that impossible? Is that too much? Is that, Lord, you're just asking too much of me to believe you? Not at all. And that is the problem. Maybe if he said, go away and fast for 40 days, we would like that. Because somehow we've achieved something. I've worked for that. Look what I've done. But because he's done it, he has just said, believe on what I have done for you at Calvary. Don't doubt. Have that expectancy in your heart and it will happen. It will come in his timing. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them. You shall have them. If you have faith or you doubt, then these things won't happen. And of course, he goes on to say about when you pray in verse 25, if you have anything against anyone, then you better deal with that because that's a hindrance to your faith. And it's also in the context of verse 23 where you speak to these mountains, to these obstacles. And he says, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. There it is. He brings up the doubting. Why does he bring that up there? Because he knows that is what Satan does. Say, when you start to doubt, that is Satan attacking your mind. That's why we put on the helmet of salvation, part of the armory of Ephesians 6 that it speaks about. We need that helmet on our head 24/7. Why? Because the enemy is going to work doubts, those fiery darts. Exactly what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Caused her to doubt what God had said, his promise. He doesn't change. Nothing new in the way he works. So when you receive a promise, you stand upon it, you ask in faith, have that expectancy in your heart. And we see these saints who walk with God. They're all there. They had this expectancy. They believed. They saw many of these promises afar off. They certainly believed that God was going to send his Messiah, Jesus, his Lamb. Many of the saints and the prophets through the Old Testament were believing that he would come, that he would deal with sin once and for all. They believed the promises of God. Abraham believed that God would provide a son for him. And he did in his old age. And Sarah passed childbearing. They believed, they held on. And for years they were believing because God had promised. The same with your loved ones, your family. Stand on that word that God will save them. He will bring them into the kingdom of God. But don't doubt. You don't want to doubt if you love your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your family. If you truly love them, you will deal with your doubts. Because that is going to stop them from getting into the kingdom of God. My doubts that are sin. Lord, forgive me. It is that serious. Because God wants to save your family, your loved ones. But you've got to deal with those doubts. Because the enemy is attacking. He doesn't want them saved. And he's going to put those suggestions. He's going to try and seduce your mind. Look at them. You've prayed the prayer of faith. Look at them. They're getting worse. If anything, they're further away from God than they were 6 months ago or a year ago. Does that look familiar? Of course it does. And it often happens. When you stand upon the word of God, when you receive a promise, you claim it by faith in Jesus' name, it invariably goes from bad to worse. Why? Because God is testing you. He's watching to see, are you believing? Even though it may appear to look worse. There it is, verse 23 of Mark 11. For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. There's those mountains. What is he speaking about there? He's saying that when you stand upon the promises of God's word, you believe them, you receive them by faith, there's a mountain immediately before you. And the enemy says, look, it's impossible. It cannot be done. You've overstepped the mark here. Does it all sound familiar? Of course it does. Because that's what he says. And you begin to listen to it. The next thing you know is doubt has got in. And then you're battling it. And the next thing you know is you're battling it for a day. And then for 2 days. Then for a week. Then possibly even for a month, until the mercy of God interjects like he is today and says, enough. You have got too much doubts going on in your mind. There is sin that is separating you and I, and it's got to be covered, dealt with at Calvary. Come back to your first love. Come back to your simple childlike faith of believing and trusting and standing upon these promises. And take doubts seriously. That, if anything, as I finish, and I think we'll continue with this, there's more to come out. If there's anything that is stressed today in this teaching, you must deal with your doubts immediately when you are starting to doubt, because the signs are you are wavering and you are going down and you are coming up and you are going down and you are coming up, exactly what waves do, toss to and fro. One minute you're in faith, you're excited about the Lord, and next thing is you're down, depressed, can't go on, and so on. There are so many professing Christians who walk like this. But not for us in FGA. God has shown us the way we walk with him. Sustain that walk, that relationship 24/7, that unbroken fellowship. And it is dealing with those doubts. Why? Because Jesus took those doubts on the cross. He dealt with it through the shedding of his blood. Praise God.